Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing, important, and interesting individuals from the worlds of business, industry, travel, art, and entertainment. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the technical wizards behind the scenes who create the magic that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to hear firsthand the fascinating stories of how it all happened from those who actually made it possible. This is Close Up Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, wherever you may be. Welcome to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you back with us again. This is Doug Llewellyn, and we are very happy to have been back with us. The team from Global Glory in Dallas, Texas, one of the great ministries anywhere. The husband and wife team of Dr. Rennie McLean and Dr. Marina McLean have been our guests for many weeks now. They have dedicated their lives to the enrichment of all those that they serve through God's glory. The Global Glory Ministry has become well known for moving and working in the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders and miracles. And as you know, we pointed out they are headquartered in Dallas, Texas, but their ministry goes all over the country. They speak and hold sessions or meetings in churches literally all over the country and around the world. Dr. Marina McLean is back on the line with us today. We haven't talked to Marina in a couple of weeks, but in any event, nice to have you back again. How are you today, Marina?
Fine, thank you.
Dr. Marina, I should be saying, but in any event, I feel like I know you.
That's because we talk so frequently.
That is so true. So, you know, we kind of check up on your activities every time we talk with you, because one day I'll talk to you, you'll be in Florida, and the next day you're out in San Jose, California, and somewhere, you know, you're just all over the place, and I get traffic reports from you, which is kind of interesting, because very often you're in a car. Where do we find you today?
Well, I'm actually home in Dallas. I just got back into Dallas 2 hours ago, I believe, and I'm in a car again, because my daughter is driving me. She's kidnapped me, even though I told her that I'm doing an interview. So I am here in Dallas.
Okay. Well, just for kicks, let's find out where you are. Are you on the George Bush Memorial Parkway or one of those freeways in Dallas that you could give us a traffic report on?
I am close to Highway 121, and because it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's pretty clear. Traffic is moving.
Okay, very good. Anybody in Dallas near 121, you've just got the word. Traffic is moving well. If you notice anything serious, you'll let us know, won't you, Marina?
Absolutely.
All right, very good. Well, listen, I come on in the assumption that people have heard us many, many times. But
yeah.
I know that there are always people out there who have not and may be wondering what Global Glory is all about, what we're talking about. So let me ask you to give me a little brief synopsis of what the Global Glory Ministries really is all about. Just talk a little bit about it and what you do, okay?
Well, Global Glory, although we're based here in Dallas, we travel all over the United States doing conferences at teaching and training seminars. We really strengthen leaders and refresh the body by equipping them for their next stage, for whatever God is, whatever direction God is leading them in. Once they're open to us and receive us, they call us in to speak into not just their lives, but into the life force and the infrastructure of the church. And usually we do that through signs, wonders, and miracles, because that really establishes a new life and a new energy within the church. And out of that, we teach them how to move in the supernatural. And they don't just limit it to when we come in as an event. It becomes a lifestyle within their church. And so we've just enjoyed the new doors, the new cultures that God has brought us into, and seeing them grow through our relationship and putting into practice what we teach. So it's an incredible assignment that we have. But as you can tell by talking to me, Doug, that I thoroughly enjoy it. It's been a pleasure walking this journey.
Well, no question. It's very obvious that you love what you do. Let me point out that you and your husband are both ministers. You both moved here 15 years ago from England. In London, you had a ministry there. It was known as the Word of Faith Ministries there, but when you came here, there was already a Word of Faith Ministry, so yeah. You had to come up with another name. And
yes.
As I understand it, your husband sought the Lord, and the Lord gave him global glory, and that's how you got
global
started.
Global glory, yes.
Is that right?
And yes, and because of that, I just tell you what we do here in the United States, but because we're on the internet through our website, globalglory.org, people watch our live teaching. So through that link called Light Source, they watch us in 125 countries. And so hence our name, Global Glory.
I do know that you are known around the world, and when you have big meetings and conferences here in the United States, whether it's in Dallas or some other city, I mean, you get people who come in amazingly, literally, from all over the world, don't you?
Yes, yes. We the last conference in October, that's our big conference. They're usually coming for our big conference. We have them coming in from the Bahamas, from Cayman Islands, from Trinidad, from as far as New Zealand, coming for the conference. And so that's just last year. And they do, they find us through the web, and they get to watch us visually as well as hear us and download us. And so we not just intrigue them, but we inspire them to come and be part of the atmosphere that they watch, because it's a captivating atmosphere that we create.
You know, it's been pointed out, and we've talked to your husband numerous times. I know that he has explained how he had a, as he put it, a visitation from God when he was 7 years old. And that started him on the path to becoming a minister. When did it all begin for you?
I want to say really once I married him.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in church, and I had my own encounter with God as a teenager. It really settled me at 17 when I had that real encounter with God. And that was really at my bedside. I got Holy Ghost filled at my bedside, and then learnt what took place with me while in church later on. But it's when I got married to him, and he would drop me in the deep end, Llewellyn. He would literally would go out. I'd travel with him to preach, and they'd give him this big introduction of who he is, and he'd get up and say he'd receive it and thank you, but he's going to call his wife to preach without even talking to me first. And I had to kill him and forgive him all at the same time and go and minister. So it's been an incredible journey for me, because I always thought, from I heard him talk about his vision, that I'd work with him behind the scenes, never imagined that I'd be up front on a platform or on the platform while he's in the audience watching me. So for me, it's marriage that dropped me right in the deep end of ministry. But I've got to tell you, I've grown in confidence. I still get nervous and sweaty hands, but I've grown in confidence and because I know it's God doing it through me.
Well, that's really very interesting. You know, I'm prompted to ask you, obviously your children have grown up in this world, you know, that you're in. You're driving in Dallas right now. Your daughter is driving you around. Do you think she is at all inclined to go into this world, that you know, the path that you've created and follow along in your footsteps, or not? Or is it too early to know?
I think it's too early to know, but I think so, because I'm driving around with my youngest, and she's a senior. She graduates, oh, my gosh, in 2 weeks, Llewellyn. And her passion is music. I watched her and my son, both of them, and my son's the middle one. Both their passion is music. So I can see them moving into this. My oldest is in medical school, and even though she knows she wants to be a doctor, but she knows she wants to do missions, and so she's choosing a path that will take her out to Doctors Without Borders, meaning doctors that can go on special mission trips. Because she knows that's part of her future. So it's interesting to see that even whatever path they take, they realize mission and including God is part of that.
Well, that's very interesting. No kidding. Mm-hmm. Doctors Without Borders is a great organization. No question about it.
yes, very much so.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, you said, you mentioned signs, wonders, and miracles as part of, you know, the Global Glory Ministry. When we talk about signs, what do you mean? And then we'll get to the miracles in a little bit, and that's really interesting. But what about signs? What are they?
One of the signs that we used to see predominantly in our ministry, I'm trying to swallow while I'm talking to you.
Go right ahead. I'll vamp till you get ready. Okay.
Thank you. One of the signs that we used to see in our ministry was gold dust. They would, you'd be worshiping, or Brandon, you'd be preaching, or I would be leading worship, and literally it would just rain gold dust. And, you know, some people would come with their sticky tape to tape it off, to take some off people's clothing, off the carpet, and keep it in their Bible, because it literally was a sign. And, you know, for the longest time, we couldn't explain why these things happened. And there was one of the services that we did where it fell when Rennie was praying for people's finances, and this lady took out her credit card out of her purse, and as she took out her credit card, her credit card was full of gold dust. So Rennie realized when that fell, it was a sign for financial breakthroughs. We've seen it fall and people get healed by it. So that was a sign that we couldn't describe what it was. It was visible in whatever church that we went into. It was visible, but at the same time, it caused people to say, well, is this God? And some people received it as God, and some people said, no, God would never do this. So my husband simply said, you know, the devil would never put gold dust in church. He wouldn't give the church gold. And so that quietened people for a bit. But it was a manifestation of God's presence, so it became a sign. We've seen where feathers fall in churches, and there's no birds. We didn't bring it in, and it's. I've been to the last time this happened. I preached at a church last year. It was a huge conference, and we walked into the room. I just laid out all my stuff and came back in, and there was a beautiful feather. Small feather with lovely colors in it, and I held on to it, that this was a sign that God was giving me, that he's going to manifest his presence here in an unusual way. So I don't go looking for signs, but when it happens, I attribute it to, it's telling me the presence of God is here in an unusual way. And so we don't see a lot of that anymore, but those were some of the things that we saw, some of the signs that we saw.
You know, we haven't talked about that before. I find that amazing. I want to repeat this for the audience who may be thinking, did I just hear what she said? You said gold dust is falling down from the rafters from above. Dust in the midst of your meeting, your sermon.
Yes, real gold dust. real golden. And the first summit that we did here in Dallas, you asked me about signs, and you just said that something else sparked up within me. We did a afternoon session where we were speaking to leaders. We asked the leaders to come, and the majority of the congregation came because, you know, it was our very first summit that they were new to us, and they didn't want to miss anything. And at the end of that session, it rained diamonds. Rain. I'm going to say it again because I know your mouth is wide open.
Yeah, do that again.
Diamonds fell all over that auditorium. Did Rennie and I get one? No, we did not. And we went to a conference, I think it was 2 years later in New Orleans, and this lady saw, when they panned the audience, saw us up on the big screening, and she came and she found us. And she said, look at my earring. We looked at her hair. She had a lovely earring in. She said, this earring I got, this diamond I got at your conference, and I wear it as a testimony of what God did.
You talk about miracles. These sound like miracles to me, but what I cannot understand is, do events like this get press coverage? Do people write about it?
No.
How come if it rains diamonds, how come I'm not reading about this on the front page of the New York Times? Or the Wall Street Journal or whatever. I don't understand it.
The signs that take place within the church world, to a degree, I love the way my husband says it, we now got a church body worldwide that have formalized unbelief. We know God is a God of miracles, but we teach people unbelief. We know God is supposed to still be the supreme being that moves and does incredible things, but we still practice a God that did it then. We don't practice that God does these things today. And so the majority of times these things never come to the forefront because the church world will rather debate it and dismiss it than debate it and embrace it. And so it gets stifled. And when we had it on our website years ago, I mean, I'm talking decades ago now, churches that we'd go into would ask us to remove it from our website because they didn't want us to talk about it. And usually when they did that, that's when God just, even if we didn't talk about it, God would just rain the gold dust down. I remember a small church in Marion, Arkansas, and I'll never forget it, where when it rained diamonds, it was embedded in the carpet for the longest time. Embedded in the carpet. It was incredible. Incredible. And we weren't even there. It was after we'd gone. It was wonderful.
Well, I must say that is incredible. There's just no question about it. You know, a lot of people, I would assume there are a lot of people that are skeptical when they hear this kind of thing. They're saying, can't happen. No way. But how do you handle skepticism? There's sure to be skepticism, right?
We have learnt not to debate with them, because there's no point debating, because their mind is like cement. It is well stirred and well set. And some people, even if they saw the signs, still wouldn't believe it. So we've learnt not to debate them. We've learnt to let God bring it about in their environment. Do it without us is usually our prayer once we walk away. God, do it without us. Because they base it on maybe it's us, Dr. Rennie and I, because of what we carry. But when you're away from it and God does it when you're not there, you have to believe that it's not us, it's God. And that's the reason why when we do miracles now, when we see miracles, it's usually done out of the atmosphere, out of the worship, because people cannot say it's because we walked up and laid hands on them. So it's something that we alone carry. We're trying to get people to see that God is in the atmosphere that you create. And when you create that atmosphere, you let him be him. You let God be God. And he can totally justify and redeem what we think when we accept that this is him doing it.
You know, what do the people who come to your meetings say when they see things like this happening? And I'll ask you about the miracle. I know the miracles, you know, that's a whole other category. How do they respond when, I mean, come on, you go to church, you're at a meeting, I see you two, and all of a sudden diamonds start falling from the sky?
What do they do?
I say, who are these people? Where do they come from?
That's right.
What planet?
My lucky
what
day,
planet?
You know.
Well, really, Llewellyn, it's because of the atmosphere. We create that atmosphere that takes people's eyes off of us. We've learned to do that. It's not even something that we have to think about now. We just naturally do that. We create an environment. And worship is the entrance into that. And when we start off in our worship, there's always a part, even if we don't start that way, there's always a part where there's a declaration, where we declare what we want to see God do. It might be me declaring it, it might be another person on the team declaring it, but we declare what we want to see God do. And he honors that, and he does that, and it's just been incredible.
Well, there's no question. I mean, your story is incredible. Who are your followers? Who comes to your meetings?
Oh my goodness! They come from all over. As I said to you, we right from our get go in London, it's always been an international crowd. It's always been a people that from different cultures, like from different denominations, that find us and just enjoy what we do.
And you've pointed out it's a little bit of everybody, right? I mean, it's Protestants, you Catholics come, you've had Jewish people come.
Exactly, Filipinos, and Filipinos to a degree have been in a Catholic culture and a Catholic religion. And
yeah.
So when they come, you've got to cut through that it's not just the preacher. You know, they don't just tie everything to the preacher. That this is the whole manifested presence of God, and once they, even before they see the miracle of God, they are open because of the presence. Even before they hear the teaching, now it's easy because they're watching us through the internet and getting our resources. But even if they don't, if they're absolutely brand new to us, they are open because of the atmosphere. When they walk in, there's a tangible difference to what they feel in church. There's a tangible difference to what they are experiencing in their bodies, what they're sensing, what they're feeling, because of what we create in that moment when they walk in.
For people who are listening, who are saying, you know, I got to go see this. I got to go see you too. I don't want to pinpoint you here, but I mean, do you know when you're having another conference that would be open to the public that could come and hear your ministry in action?
Well, we're open all the time. But our next big one is in October the 24th, I believe it is. But then I have a thing that I'm doing. Doug, I'm glad you said that, because I've got a worship experience that I'm doing here that I've done everywhere else but here in Dallas, and that is June the 8th. Right here in Dallas, I'll be doing that in my home city, because there's so much music and sound in me. I know you know that I preach and you know that I teach just like Dr. Rennie, but the thing that separates us is the voice that I have when we step into worship. And so I'm doing that this June the 8th, another live worship session, and I'm hoping that the majority of the songs will be written right there out of the atmosphere. It will just flow right there out of the atmosphere and just see what God does.
Let me point this out now. You have your website, which is globalglory.org, and obviously there will be information on that website about that June 8th meeting. Do you call it? You call it a meeting, a service, or what?
What I'm calling this one is a worship encounter.
A worship encounter. All right. June 8th in Dallas. Anybody who's listening, I mean, you got plenty of time. We're just near the end of April at this point, so you can plan. But and they would find out on your website where this would be happening in Dallas.
That's pretty
amazing. Now, you know, you talk about music. We talked before. I asked you, I said, I don't know about today, but I said, you know, one of these days I have to get you to sing a little bit. Are you up to that today?
I don't know if I'm up to it, because my voice is so raspy, but even when I'm raspy, I sound good.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Well, it's up to you. If you would like to warble a few notes, you know, sing a little bit of a song, that would be fine. We could entertain the audience. I'm sure they'd enjoy that.
I'm about to sing to you, Mike, with it.
Is your daughter embarrassed? Is she saying,
no,
don't sing?
No.
Okay.
She's not even listening to me, which is wonderful.
Oh, good. Okay.
What can I sing for you?
It's your choice.
Oh, my God, yes. My daughter just says, think it's a new season, it's a new day. It's a new season, it's a new day. There's a fresh anointing, and it's coming our way. The season of power, it's the season of praise. It's a new season, and it's coming my way.
Very good, very good. Are you stopping traffic in Dallas? Is a car pulling over to the side?
No, and I usually sing when I'm in traffic and wind the windows down, especially when we're in London, because then they just move out of my way. They think it's a crazy lady and move out of my way, and my kids start shrinking in the car. But now everybody's crazy, so nobody moves now.
Oh boy! Well, you got it, girl. That sounds good. Very good. And you say you make up songs as you go along in the services?
I write songs. That song is somebody's song, but yeah, I write songs. One of the ones that I did just recently, which is wonderful, because I'm in, I love the Middle Eastern sound right now, mm-hmm. and one of the songs that I did at the last conference was, if I can remember, is Hear, O Hear, O Israel, Your God is calling you. Hear, O Hear, O Israel, Your God is drawing you. Respond, respond to the presence of Your God. Respond, respond to the mention of His name. Hear, O Hear, O Israel, Your God is calling you. And it just went on. It just went on. It was incredible. It just
I'm
built
impressed.
And built and built.
I'm impressed, Dr. Marina McClain. Singing on a cell phone. And you know, cell phones aren't the greatest.
No, they are not.
Yeah, their high fidelity is not the greatest on a cell phone, but you sound really very, very good. Congratulations for taking a stab at doing that. I give you a lot of credit.
Thank you.
I really do.
You know, I love
quickly now.
We have you, Doug.
We just have three. Well, I'm always surprised by you guys. We have just a couple of minutes left. Wonders. I was wondering what signs, wonders, and miracles. When we talk about wonders, what are we talking about in that category?
It's people's wonderment, and even when you see signs and you see wonders, signs and miracles, you walk away in the wonderment, and wonderment leads to awe. That's the only response when I talk about wonderment, is that you're really left in awe of what you've just seen and what you've just experienced. Because there are times in our services we see the most incredible miracles. Just recently, I told you about the man who hadn't heard for 30 years and began to hear. And, you know, you walk out of that service and you're just, that awe just gets you to thank God, to just praise God. And when you think about what He has done and what you see, wonderment makes you stop and think. It puts you in a position to a degree to be still and just absorb what you've just experienced. And that's the wonderment of God. He just absolutely floors your reasoning, floors your facts, because He's just changed it in a moment with an encounter with Him. And that's one of the things that I love what we do, because we meet the most unusual people in the most pleasant of circumstances. And they just move you to just thank God for what He just did in their life. And that's the wonderment. And a lot of times And people say, why me? Or why hasn't this happened to me? Or why did that only happen to her? And you're left in a wonderment. You're left wondering why. But when you experience it for yourself, you have to sit still or even stand still, maybe even kneel, maybe even lay down on your face and just say, Lord, I thank you. Because I could have never imagined this moment where I'd be totally free of whatever it was I carried. Or thank you that I'm able to see this type of movement or this type of miracle in my lifetime. It's incredible.
That's amazing. Dr. Marina, you're amazing. You're amazing. Your story is amazing, I must tell you. Listen, we've gone through the half hour. This has been a really great story today. We've had a lot of music. The singers have been here. So I thank you for being willing to warble a little bit. That's really been great. And we'll be doing this again next week, all right? Next Tuesday at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. We'll be back again with Dr. Marina McLean. Maybe Dr. Renee McLean will be with us. They're from the Global Glory Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Thanks again, Marina.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Doug.
Drive carefully now.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that'll wrap it up for this edition of Close Up Talk Radio. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks so much for